4 CBA, mobile.
4 CBA, KM4CHY.
4 CHY, KB4 CBA, good morning. Name here is David, what are you up to?
Remember your name, that's my first name, but I go by Keith. Try to dig into some V-Star information. I'm a little lost here.
You're going to give that to me one more time, please, sir. I didn't get it.
Roger, I'm saying the name here is Keith. I can remember David because that's my first name. But I go by Keith. And, I said I was digging into some D-Star info, but I'm a little lost. A little out of my realm of knowledge here, over.
All right, Keith. D-Star, I can't help you, that's for sure. And I know that feeling with other things in ham radio, too. So, I can read it, but sometimes, and I can follow directions, but sometimes it just doesn't work out the way it's supposed to. But anyway, that's what the ham radio community is about. I just call somebody I know that knows more than I do, and that's a long list. Go ahead, KB4 CBA.
I think I've only been a ham for about 5 years, but I think it's like that with everything. When you start into a new aspect of it, and I think one of the big problems is, fragmented information. I've been over the last few months playing around with APRS, that info is scattered out all over the place. No one central location doesn't get everything, and the one central location is even fragmented in itself. And now started diving down the D-Star hole in the last day or so. One more thing, another rabbit hole to go down, I guess.
Can you tell me what's your location?
Over in Seneca. I'm pretty well versed on DMR, but I'm just diving into the D-Star stuff. Look.
can do about that. I'm just having a hard time copying you, and I apologize. I'd say probably 60% of it's on my end of the on the receiving end. So anyway, I don't know if I can't think of another repeater that we might could try that you can hit. You might have a better idea.
Not right offhand, and it genuinely might not just be on your end. I've had issues on this end too, so it's probably me, not you. Over.
KO4 HKX. There seems to be some static on a repeater, scratch on a repeater this morning. Both of y'all are breaking up, and I'm on my base station, so.
Okay.
Throw a third element in there that might be having problems. Over.
But if y'all want to try a different repeater, the K90H may work for both of you. I think it's kind of in between the two of you.
Roger, I do have that one. I don't know if you've got it, Dave.
What frequency?
145.470.
Got that programmed in my radio. If you want to get down there.
Sure, that'll work for me. Join us over there, Patrick?
Yeah, I'll meet you over there. KO4HKX, clear.
4CHYQS.
JC. KO4HKX.
4CHYQS.
I was just glad, Dave, if it was raining down there, but I can't hit that repeater.
Said it was looking like it's about to rain, but I took that. It's just not raining yet, but it's getting there.
Thinking about riding down the field day. It's raining up here. But man, I struggle to hit any repeaters. I've got to where I can hit this one, because that's what we tuned the antenna for and everything else. It's been a nightmare for me.
Patrick, you sound good. Keith, you sound good this morning. A little noise, but not much. I'm not hearing you crackling on this end right now.
It's like it comes and goes as far as the repeater problem. But yeah, I think I've got a modulation input problem here too, so it kind of complicates things.
I'll tell you, if you needed to, you could borrow the mic off mine to test yours if you want to see if that's what it is.
I have to take you up on that one. Never get the opportunity to do face to face. I just don't get out much. That's my problem. That's about to change, though. They told us yesterday that we're going to be going back in the plant. For a period of time, anyway.
I forgot to say that on the last round.
Yeah, we're good. I put the noise reduction on the radio. It takes out a lot of the little crackles and stuff I hear from time to time. The band must have been open yesterday evening because I was hearing some stuff coming in I hadn't heard before. It must have been about 6 or 7 o'clock last night on 2 meters, anyway. I think what's the field day thing cranking up today? Is it this afternoon?
Going on right now.
Thinking I'd hear chatter. I turned the radio on this morning early thinking maybe didn't hear, but maybe they're just on HF mode.
There's a club to set up this morning, and they usually have a Margie, I can't think of her name. I can't even recall. It's KK4 or something. They live up at 6 miles somewhere up there. She and her husband both do. She's the works out there too. She usually has a satellite set up with an Icon 5100 out there. don't know whether she's doing it this year or not. All I know is it was awful busy yesterday, the last few times I've tried to get into the ISS. You know, they didn't try to today because they're going to be all the field day stations get 100, I think they get 100 extra points or something if they make a contact. Go ahead, Patrick.
Well, I was just going to see about the weather before I rode down there, but I hadn't heard anything about it other than Dave said it looked like it was going to rain.
Let's carry on for a minute. I know that's the way over right there. It rained overnight here. It's not raining right now, but I hadn't even been out to see what it's like over east of us. Y'all carry on. I'll be back in a minute.
I think Keith told me he got his new open spot 4. Is that, am I remembering that or am I just dreaming?
He's got it up and working.
See how that works out. I think I might have to get one of those things one of these days myself. I'm not sure if I need a 4 or 4 Pro, or I don't know what the difference is between the two of them. They're both pretty expensive, I guess, from what I understand. But you've got a different situation. You get a hotspot you carry with you, but it's not. Is it a Bridgecom? Is that right?
That is correct. I got the Bridgecom SkyBridge.
Does it work off your phone 5G, or how does that thing work?
Working off of my hotspot I have for work, I've got an actual little hotspot. I haven't been able to get it to hook up to the hotspot on my phone yet. I really wish I could, but I tried for a couple times there, and I just haven't got back to it.
Mobile?
It hits my home Wi-Fi or my mobile hotspot that I use in the tool truck.
I got you, Sam. So you've already set up what kind of mobile hotspot do you use?
Verizon, MiFi, MilFi, however you want to say that.
Pretty well.
I did it for several years, and it seems to work pretty good. I wish I could get an external antenna for it, because sometimes when I get in the weaker areas, the tool truck blocks out the signal and I have to put it up in the windshield. But other than that, and you got to watch for it getting too hot when you do that.
I just said I don't have anything like that I can tether to my phone, I guess, because I got pretty decent 5G in the area, but it's not real, real fast. But I did get I got cable internet here, and upgraded the last, back in April, finally, after years of dealing with about 20 megs down now. They got up to about 220, and then all of a sudden, when they redid something yesterday, it's up around 350 or so now.
It's always good for an improvement, KO4 HDX. And there must be something going on with the repeater this morning, because I'm receiving it. An S7 where I'm usually a 20 over.
Propagation, because it's cloud cover and that sort of thing. I had a little sprinkling of rain early this morning when I got out about 7:30, but not. I could about count the raindrops on the car, but just a little bit. But we haven't had any rain here in over a week now, I guess. But they're saying we're not going to get any rain, but it looks like it here, but then we haven't had anything, not where I am, anyway.
Here, I figured that's what it was, but then it was scratchy with Keith and David there. It was pretty scratchy when they were talking, and so I didn't know if something was going on or what, but I knew the cloud cover probably affected.
About you while you're gone, Keith.
Yeah, I get that a lot.
KO4 NUE.
NUE, KO4 CHY. I tried to make contact with you last night. Couldn't do it. Wanted to let you know I did get the email.
Good deal. Good deal. Well, y'all go ahead. I won't mess your morning up. I just heard Keith. Wanted to see if he got my email. Patrick, you got yours too, yeah?
I got it. I was just going to let you know. KO4 HDX.
And behind you, he's standing by.
Miss her morning, that she ain't gonna miss mine, that. But anyway, I've already done all the damage I can do this morning, my day's not gonna change much one way or the other. But keep looking, just out to ask Patrick, did you get the upper spot for Pro? Is that the one you got?
That's why I was digging into the D-Star thing. Got nothing running on DMR. Got the D-Star registration done, but I'm a little confused on the letters that you do on your registration, what they mean, and not sure on the open spot what server to connect to and that kind of thing.
Sure, with the D-Star repeater, WD4 EOG, I think it's EOG, the one, or whatever, there's one in Clemson. It takes a couple of days. He's just a single operator guy. And the one I registered with was one of the clubs, I think it's W4 BFB, or one of them in Charlotte. That took a couple of days for me to get registered. And, if you don't have, I don't know about going through an open spot, cross moding, whether you have to do that or not. But it takes about 48 hours for them to get back with you and get your registration up and running.
Got the confirmation pretty quick, within an hour, but I just don't know what the stuff that you add into your registration was that's done. I don't know what any of that means, but that's the kind of stuff I'm digging into now.
The only thing on regular D-Star radio you have to remember is you have to, if you're going to use your gateway, your local CQ, your gateway call sign, you gotta make sure that B or G is all the way out to the last digit. I think seventh digit, maybe, or something like that. It just gotta be on that seventh digit, otherwise you won't be able to hear. You might be able to hear, but you can't transmit. It should be like mine's at 4DJC -B and then -G for the gateway. Like I said, I don't remember. It's been several years ago since I said that. But once you get it in, it's not a real big deal. The system itself is easy to work once you get everything set up right. And going through an open spot with a non-D-Star radio to D-Star, you have to use the going through a pastor or an open spot. Because they're a Pi-Star, you actually have to change the configuration of the Pi-Spot to change reflectors. But if you got a D-Star radio, you can change them on the radio without having to go through your Pi-Star. Open spot may be a different, it's probably different. A lot of guys run them, though, on D-Star. And I've seen them run DMR on it, and I've also seen them run D-Star to D-Star, and you fusion to it and so forth, too. But like I said, I don't know what the process is for the open spot. The other part of it is pretty simple. Once you grasp the terminology, and I'm not going to be much help to you, but like I said, it's been a while since I've done it.
I think the terminology is what I'm hung up on now, is what all that stuff means. I've just really started digging into the reading part of it. I got it configured, I've got it to connect, but it gives you a list of servers, and it's just like, DSD-001, no kind of description or anything, so I don't know what server to connect to, to get a closed server or any of that, so that's the kind of stuff I'm digging into right now. Go ahead, Patrick.
I'm going to hop off for a little bit so I can get ready, and I'm going to head on down the mountain and join in on field day a little bit. But I'll catch you just when I get back in the vehicle. Keith, Jerry, good to talk to you this morning. KO4 HGX, and I'll be clear for now.
Patrick, good hearing you. Catch you a little later. Probably have the 610 on all day, but listening out for y'all over there. I kind of thought I'd hear something before now, but I'm assuming they're on HF. Go ahead, Jerry.
It's a simplex or something. I don't have any idea. The Anderson repeater is not busy this morning either. I heard a couple guys on about 7 or so talking about field day, but that was about it. Hey, hadn't heard anything from Stacy the last few days. Have you heard anything from him?
I'll tell him on the DMR for a little while last night. Yeah, he's doing pretty good. Just hanging out bird watching, you know.
You came there yesterday. Tom and I were talking to him. He's over there. Matt Page is over there in Centerville. It's not too far from Stacy, I don't think. He calls KG4. Lima, Sierra, Lima. His name's Jimmy. He's from Region from the Atlanta area, I think, and he's over there. He's got HFNV, HF set up. He's not too far. It's over in that area, but I can get him Simplex, which I couldn't do with Stacy, so he may be in a little different area. Or either I may have a beam pointed in the exact direction or something. Well, nice guy, they
just turned on my AFC. I have periodically been able to get Stacy in on Simplex. And I was kind of surprised that we're not but about, between Stacy and I, we're not but about 12 miles away according to APRF. So that just seems a lot shorter because it's a 20-minute drive because you got to go around the lake to get to it. But, yeah, I guess it's probe-wise at 8 to 12 miles. I was kind of shocked.
I'm not that far from him either. It's just my location. There's something proper between his station and mine. And Jimmy, I think he said he's got a copper J-pole up about 35 feet. But he's about the same elevation I am. But he said he was kind of out in the open up on a hill where he was. And I'm sure it could have been propagation too, though, Keith, I don't know. But I couldn't hear Stacy at all. I mean, I guess he was on handheld, though. That might have been something to do with it, but I couldn't hear him at all. And they're relatively close to the same general area anyway, I think. But I don't hear anybody direct. Like I said, I used to talk to Roger in 5CSA, and there was another guy, I can't remember Bill's call now, we would get on Simplex every once in a while. We'd get on Simplex we tried Simplex on D-Star and worked for a while there that way, but I'm just kind of about on the edge of it, I think, of being able to get them solid.
Aren't you in a more populated area over there where you're at, too? Seems like you're over like by Walmart and Sam's and all that.
Road down here blew up. With that first, like you're going through Sam's and head down towards Brown Road, heading like back towards Highway 81, right after you cross the where the boat ramp is, we cross the lake where the boat, that new boat ramp is. I'm up on top of the, in the subdivision up on the right. But I'm down the hill. I'm well below, my antenna is probably below Brown Road where I am. I'm still, elevation about right, but I'm just not in the clear, and I got trees around me, especially in two directions. The way I'd hit towards you would be kind of like me hit towards Clemson, which is real. I can't get it. I used to be able to get into that Clemson D-Star, but this got a real short range because it's just not up that high, I think. I'd never been successful getting into it unless I was on, heading down towards Clemson or that way, that sort of thing. Even then, you had to get almost on top of it to get into it. But yeah, I'm not in a very good location at all. That's just, plus, if I point my beam back in that direction, I've got these high-efficiency triple-pane windows. I'm sure they probably have some type of metal, film in them or something. I can go through a machine gun pretty good on the front side of the house, but the back side of the house, I'd have to point almost directly out a window, and they don't do very good that way.
I would to. And I guess you're fairly close to the lake. Your elevation begins to low over there. I imagine that's a lot of your problem, or a lot of the problem that I can't hear you is under here. Stacy is at the almost the end of Old Caravanary Road, and when I forget what the road is, you turn off down there at the convenience store to go to his house, but you turn off the highway or the road there, and you immediately go up. And I was joking with him; he didn't quite get it, but I asked him if he was when he was looking for a place that he turned up that road and got up to the top of the hill and said, yeah, this is a good place to put an antenna over.
Here, we had some, matter of fact, my son-in-law, boss, has a lake lot down towards that. You have to go down that way to get to it. It seems like it takes forever to get down there, but I know, you know, Stacy's general area, and I think the other ham over there, he may be a little bit, he's about the same height, but I think he's just in a little more open area or something. But, because he's Stacy, I mean, you know, both y'all could hit that corner for APRS, IGDs, and I can't get anything in that direction. I mean, I can get Stacy direct, and I got him a time or two. I have to tell you a story about my radio in a minute, too. I've got him direct a time or two, and, he's still just running, you know, that hand tail. I got him direct on when he's mobile or at his home QTH.
4CHY, yeah, I was amazed that I hit Carnival more often than I do the GSB or one of the other ones around here. But it's only, I think it's the Carnival one is actually closer to me where I'm at. It's like 24 miles, and the other one's like, you know, GSB the other way is like 30 miles. So it makes sense that I hit this one more often. He's got a decent location, like I said. You can come up to the top of that hill, and there it is. So, and I know when he's outside, sitting out back, he's usually got that little gate suit hooked up to the. We've got open stuff gate poles. We've got barns. That little thing adapted to the open stuff cable, and it is up a good way. It's probably close to 20 feet up anyway. And I think that's a lot of my problem here. I'm not, but probably 10 or 12 foot up. I've got some options of chimney mount, but then I'd have to have a long run of coax over to it. I thought I had an option for a mount on this end of the house. I bought the poles and the mounts and everything, and I wasn't thinking about the eave of the house. The mounts don't get it out beyond the eave, so. And I'm a little, not wanting to, like, you know, cut into the siding and that kind of thing, so. I have to find a solution for getting a little more altitude on the antenna.
And I'm not in a homeowners association or anything like that, but I thought several times about maybe just putting me a 4x4 out there and, you know, put it down in the ground and put a mast, small mast up there and just get it above the top of the garage and see how, you know, I've thought several times about just getting something temporary just to try it out to see, you know, how well it works and if it's worthwhile to do that rather than going and buying everything that. Being no better off than I am right now. But, that way I can work downstairs. You know, I'd like to be able to go downstairs. The garage is too hot right now, but I'd like to be able to go downstairs and be able to hook it up downstairs to run in with me, you know, 25 feet maybe or something like that. And I wouldn't need to run a lot of power, I don't guess. But just getting one out in the open makes a lot of difference. And maybe I'd have one of those air ground planes that the guy makes 2 meters and 440, and I have had it mounted on 10-foot piece of PVC outside, and it worked pretty damn good on the front of the house, but if it's on the front of the house, that coax would just be too long of a run for me, I think. FTM 200, by the way, developed, and it just, I thought it was a fan run. I said, what's the fan run all the time? I literally just kind of had a hiss or a hum coming from the speaker all the time. And I packed that boy up, sent it back to him Friday, and I'm going to get a machine to get me an FT5DR.
Yeah, I've looked at those too. Those nice radios. I was really impressed with that FT1 that Stacy's got. Little small radio, but it's a dense little radio. There's a lot packed into it physically and function-wise.
Yeah, the FT5 is, you know, FT3 was you know, went up 3-2-3 and then jumped straight to 5. And 5 is a little bit nicer radio than the 3. Than the 3 was, the audio is better. And, you know, it's just a little better radio, I think. They're about the same price wise. And I still want to hang on that APRS capability. And the 200. I mean, when you have to. You know, when you do an APRS and you don't have a, not like having a 710 where you got everything accessed and you just get it immediately, the 200 and the 300 and mobiles both do a good job. But you have to scroll through those menus and touch screen on the 5 makes it a whole lot easier, just like it would like on the 400. Makes it a whole lot easier to navigate through those APRS menus. Plus, it is a true dual band, so you can dual in band receive. You know, you run APRS in the background, plus be on the FM or the fusion side of it as well. Repeat myself a lot of times, doing the same thing over and over again. But I don't really need APRS other than maybe for the ISS, but it is fun to use sometimes. And make sure that I love the Kenwood stuff. I hope they bring another radio out. I'm start making them again, but it doesn't give me a lot of confidence that they don't. You know, if they're, you know, don't even have a VHF, UHF mobile that they're currently manufacturing. And, DC-4 is such a good radio. They don't repair their own radios anymore. You have to go to some outside service center to get them repaired now.
I didn't realize that. As far as the repairs go, that's like you. They still got the, I think it's the D710 listed on the site. But, obviously, you know, anywhere, any of the vendors you go to, it'll tell you it's discontinued. So, yeah, I hope they do come out with something. I would definitely do a new version of this radio. Get these issues fixed. It's a good radio. Would like to have the latest and greatest and still be able to have APRS capability. Yeah, and I can see where the true dual band would be definitely one you'd want because of the satellite work. It's not got into that, but I'd potentially like to look into that too.
It's not a full duplex now. With the 200, you actually couldn't listen to two bands at the same time on the 200. which is kind of, the whole thing was kind of weird. The other thing too, it's really unusual that on the, not on the old ones now, but like on the 300 and the 200 both, if you get on 440, it sounds, every time you get on the radio, key the mic up, it's got this sick bad clicking sound like a relay, and it's just, you know, the radio does it, you wouldn't hear it if it was mobile. It's really annoying, you know, being in a, being in the house and having to hear that thing clicking. And both of them do it. It's just a trait of the radio. I guess I don't know why it does it, but anyway, that's a little bit on the annoying side. But the Tesla 710 is a really, really good radio. It's got a good TNC. It's got good APRS, and it is full duplex. But the ones I've seen, that, you know, out where they just built them up from parts they had or not, they're bringing $750. And it always was an expensive radio. It was always over $550 or so. But, man, I said, they just, you know, just like they did with the D-74, they just went crazy with the pricing on them. And I sold mine. I probably should have kept it. I sold mine. I did make some money off of it, so. But, what is up? I don't read. I probably have around where did more than you know, lose my socks on it when I sold it. But I got a little bit of my money back anyway. M4DJ6.
I had went out and done a brief search for the 710G. I think back to 712. And the first one that come up on eBay was like $1,200. Never mind. And same thing, you know, where I could find a more reasonable, it's still want $800 for them. For what I got for now. But I'm like you, I really hope they come out with a new one. You know, the kind of an updated version of the 710. I really like this 700. It gives me some antenna height and diagnosis this audio problem with the, I'm thinking it's the mic cord. Today, the W4DJW was having trouble here, and then I unplugged it and plugged it back in, and it worked. So, yeah, I think I'm going to have this issue with the mic. Patrick's been eating. Lonely one off of his, but I really just need to go out and buy me a new multimeter. I think I'm going to break down and give you a pretty good time to be done with it. I've run through so many cheap ones that figure out I can, you know, get $100 flute and get it to be 10 times the meter that any of these cheap ones have been.
All my experience with Kenwood's, you know, D710s and the T, you know, V71As, and even the Monomanders, the ones that all use that same mic like you have, they always have problems with that connector, and it just needs to be cleaned. It's just a common trait of them, and they even use almost the same connector and mic on their commercial radios, Keith. Same problem there. You know, it's just need to clean it every once in a while. It gets intermittent, and you clean it, and it works fine again. At least that's what I've had happen. When I had my 710, I had to pull the mic out a couple of times and clean it in a matter of a couple of months. It just gets grit in there or something, and I just got that, cleaned it off real good, and hit some dust off with it, and plugged it back in, and it was fine.
Yeah, and I have thought about that, too. I've been around a while, and I got into computer stuff early, so I remember used to do the old card interconnect. The trick to them was taking the Tesla eraser and cleaning the traces for the card interconnector itself. Traces on the PC board cleaned off to where it would make a good contact again. I thought about trying that on the RJ plug here, seeing if I could do anything with the connector on this side as far as making sure we're getting good contact there.
Yeah, you've been around long enough to remember that stuff like I have. But yeah, that's Because, I've seen dozens and dozens of people over the last 5 years. I've been back in this thing, before I took a hiatus. And, because I had all, that's all I had was Kenwood stuff for a while. And had the same problem with the 671A. It would do like that sometimes, to get intermittent and unplug it and clean it off good and put it back in and go again. Just evidently it's a fairly common issue. I think the only one may not be a issue with it is, I'm thinking that monoband Kenwood that's got the front facing speaker. I can't remember the model number now. Just the 2 meters on. I think that one's got a different connector because I think the mic plugs in the front of that one. I may be wrong about that. But yeah, it's just pretty common on them. And the thing I wanted to mention too, the difference between the Yaesu and like this, the Nikon 52, other than the obvious difference between Fusion and D-Star, is the Icon, you can't cross band. I mean, you can't use a true duplex split on. You can't split bands. If you do a split mode on a memory, it's got to be on the 52 now, it's got to be within the same band. And with the Yaesu, you can do the 440 and 2 meters. So that way you can set up memories to scroll down when you're working satellites. It's a little easier to handle that way. That way you don't have to switch VFOs back and forth like you do on some other radios. But I think all the Yaesus do that. The ICOMs don't do it. They won't let you put in two different bands for that split mode. Now the 705, it'll let you do that. And you transmit on one, and then you can receive on the other. And also, while you're receiving on the other, you can also use the band scope, like on the 7300, and follow that downlink, because it follows the band scope and follow the downlink as it changes. It changes the frequency like it's supposed to, but it keeps the uplink the same as the downlink changes, which is pretty helpful. So that's a big difference between a Yaesu and an ICOM. And I didn't know about it until I got this 52.
I had no idea either. I figured that would be, it seems like I've been doing cheap Chinese radios mostly. This is my first, big three radio. And, it always seemed to me like you have to go for the higher end model to get be able to do split frequencies like that. And I'm kind of surprised Yaesu doesn't do that. At least have specific models for, like what you do with satellite work. Seems like that's a segment they're cutting out of their sales, but not for us to decide, I guess. Yeah, I'm like I said, I need to get me a new meter. I think part of the problem is on the 700 and 710. Well, I don't know about the 710. I think the mic plugs into the head on it. But on the 700, it plugs into the transceiver. Like right now, I've got it set way up on a shelf and got the mic cord stretched down. And of course, it was radio, so I don't know what the situation was like before, so I just want to verify that I've just ring it out and verify that I've got good connections from the RJ plug up to the mic and go from there. That's really my next true diagnostic step.
I don't know why they do that. That's just so strange. The Yaesus are the same way. They plug into the transceiver part of it, instead of the front panel display. And the 710 does the same thing. The 710 and 700, they're almost identical, except in GPS. And I think you could even put that front module from a 710 on that, and it'll work on a 700. I think radio module part is virtually identical, but the new Yaesu do have a USB plug that you can plug in the display and put one of those photo microphones on that cost you $90, and then you don't have any way of, you know, didn't have any up and down control. Well, it may have up and down, didn't have all the buttons to control change and stuff and change your frequency and that sort of thing. So that's kind of a moot point. It was kind of a, you know, it didn't make much sense to me. And also a USB, you know, it just won't take a lot of wear before it goes, and you'll have to send it back, have somebody, you know, I have to have somebody replace that thing. They're not the strongest, because micro USBs aren't the strongest connections in the world either. But I was going to ask you a question too, since you're more astute than I am about the connections. I've got a Category 5 cable running from my Wi-Fi router to my modem, and do I need to go to a Category 6 because my download speeds are about 340 right now, I think. Do I need to go to a Cat 6 cable, or is a Cat 5 okay?
Probably say if you found a cheap Cat 6, then just, you know, have to be there and just play go there, but a cheap Cat 6 cable doesn't be used. I'd replace it, but the Cat 5 should be good enough. I think, there may be a little more. I used to be really heavy into this stuff, or used to work for a technology podcast, and we kept up with everything. I used to do a lot of PC stuff, too, which I don't anymore. So I hadn't really kept up with it, but it seemed like the Cat 6 would have more bandwidth, and I don't know about shielding and all that. The Cat 5 or Cat 5e should be good enough, but, you know, if you have to find one with a Cat 6, the price was right, I might then go ahead and change it out.
About a 3-foot run at the most, and so I think I get one from either Modern Price or probably get one from Amazon for maybe $10 or so, not too, maybe less than that. But I didn't know that it make that much difference. And I was disconnecting the Wi-Fi router, disconnecting from the modem, and my brother-in-law was an engineer, and he's a fiber optics guy, and I asked him about it. He said, well, Cat 6 might be better for those download speeds. I asked him what was happening, because it just, you know, it would stop intermittently the internet. The modem would still be on. It didn't go off. You know, it wasn't blinking or anything like that. But the Wi-Fi router would. He told me it's more likely. I don't have a static IP. More likely, it's that thing renewing the IP, and it's not communicating. He said it has to recycle to get it back on again. So, I don't know if the static IP would be worth fooling with or not, but it seems to do it. It's the most right in the middle of a movie or something like that, I'm streaming.
Roger, that's my point, that kind of thing happens too. And you very well may be right. Maybe it may have refreshed, and then the Wi-Fi router's got a timeout its DNS connection. And, oh, hey, I need a new IP address. But yeah, that kind of thing, as far as streaming and stuff. But yeah, like I said, if, you know, and I do that a lot on, like, Amazon and things like that, mostly Amazon. I don't like to buy one thing at a time, so I'll think of something I need, and I'll add it to the cart. A week later, I'll add something else to the cart. Once I get a few things in the cart, I'll go ahead place the order. So yeah, that's probably what I'd do with the Cat 6 cable too. Just find a cheap one. That's the beauty of the Amazon Monoprice thing. If you only need a 3-foot cable, you can get you a 3-foot cable too. And yeah, just add it to the cart. Next time you go to make an order, there it is. But yeah, it certainly couldn't hurt if you have one handy. But I don't know that I would make a special trip to go get one.
That's the same way I do. I put one thing in, I'll add something else. I'd add something else, and I'll leave my car. I said, good Lord, I got $50 worth of stuff in my car. What am I doing? I did the same thing. hate to have those trucks from here. I mean, they'll deliver it to you the next, in 2 days or something like that, but I hate to have them come down back and forth when I'll say, oh, I need one more thing. Anyway, I appreciate that information. I think that's what I'll do. Like I said, I think I'd probably do with a 2 foot. I don't need much at all, but it may not have anything to do with it at all. Either it may not help or hurt. But the one that came with a Wi-Fi router, and I got one of the Eero's mesh. It just got a single one, though. I don't have a mesh system throughout the house. And it works good. I mean, I get good download speeds out of it, but, if somebody suggests maybe going to a Kent 6, I said, I don't know whether that's it or not. And my brother-in-law said, that may or may not, it's not going to hurt anything. He said, but you may be throwing away $10. He said, but it's not going to hurt. He said, it's probably where it's, looking for a new IP address. He said, he had the same problem. He changed over to static, and I don't even know Spectrum. I'll put a static IP address or not. I'll have to check with them, but I don't know if it's worth it to do it or not. But I do use a VPN, though. That may have some implications, too, that I don't know about.
That very well may be the case. I don't use a VPN personalized, but we do have to have one for work. Some days it's challenging. that's why I was kind of saying, if you had one available or happen to see one that's cheap enough, it's certainly not going to hurt. It may or may not fix it, but it's a cheap try anyway. It's obviously a better cable. Just something cheap you can throw at it. If it fixes it, great. If it don't, go well. And yeah, I started doing the thing with the one thing at a time in the cart, just because you order something, it comes in three boxes. It's like, well, maybe if I pile all this stuff together, it'll all come in one box. And no, that's not usually the case either. But they have started, if you do it on, like, your Prime Day or something, you can request to have it minimize the amount of boxes. So I'm guessing it's whatever distribution center it comes out of. And you get a little bit of a discount, I think, if you wait for your Prime Day, which here at Wednesday,
DHY and 4DJC. Yeah, well, I don't, with them building this house next door too, we've got so many people coming in, I don't want them leaving something on the porch either. Although we'll probably hear, but we may not be, and all the guys coming in now, it's just, I got an Amazon locker about a mile up the road from me, or I can pick it up at a QT or something like that. I usually have mine delivered to an Amazon locker now. And to be honest with you, a lot of times it comes in faster from Amazon locker than it does with a truck coming through. And I did the same thing with UPS, too. While they're building this house, they just have everything directed to the UPS store instead of having it picked up. Because I've got a UPS account, so I think I pay about $20 a year for it or something like that, so I can have it delivered there. It doesn't cost me anything extra.
It wouldn't matter anyway. And the talking about normally hearing them. When FedEx delivered this open spot 4, I think my FedEx driver was a ninja. I was sitting probably 10 or 12 feet away. And the lady went to the grocery store, doctor's appointment or something. And she got back that morning and threw it in my lap. And it's like, I didn't even hear that guy. Didn't hear his truck, you know. So I'm assuming he was in a ninja uniform.